Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number. The $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. True crime today.
This is the ongoing story of a small Idaho town and its residents, a tightly knit community that hasn't seen a murder since 2015, an environment where one thought they could feel safe and secure until a quadruple homicide stole the lives of four young souls on a mid-November evening, leaving far more questions than answers. Where will the investigation lead and how do we get there? This is the University of Idaho Murders podcast. Four killed for what?
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts just to not miss any episodes of the program. You can get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts if you subscribe there. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. Today, we have a great expert on the air with us. Jennifer Coffendaffer, a retired FBI agent of 25 years, is here to discuss the case and go into her thoughts on what's been going on. Jennifer's been following this from day one, and I've been in contact with her on Twitter and such, and she really provides an in-depth examination of this, and she does a lot of digging on her own as we've been following this case. So I'm very excited to have her on today and get her perspective on where things are sitting right now. In fact, we're going to make this into a two-part conversation with her. So you'll have the first release of it here as you're hearing it now. Then later in the day, we'll be releasing the second part of the conversation to go through as well, because there's so much to digest here. The first thing, Jennifer, I want to go into, and thank you for joining us. There's been a lot of talk about the pinging of cell towers in the area and their distance to the King Road house. Cell towers, a lot of people have different understandings of how they work. The more, the better in many cases in terms of identifying where someone is located when they're trying to do that reverse search and get some triangulation on those pings. Tell me from what you've been researching, what you've learned about triangulation of cell towers from this case and other cases that you've worked. How important is it, and how does it work in terms of identifying where one is located in terms of a location they're trying to identify?
Well, the number one thing I'm looking for when I'm looking at cell tower coverage is how many are there. Some cities, there's, you know, 12 cell towers around a particular area that we're investigating. Mm-hmm. In this case, Moscow has three. And three is what is required for triangulation. This is based on my experience. So the first thing I wanted to jump into was, how many do they have? Do they have at least three? And they do have three. And that can get a cell phone located within about 3/4 of a mile. Sometimes it can be triangulated much closer than that, but that's kind of the outside skirt of what can be triangulated from my experience.
So if someone's assuming there's a cell tower and there's a ping, it's not just, well, it happens somewhere within the radius of this tower. With the triangulation, they can basically, if I'm understanding right, understand where the signal was based on how weak or strong it was compared to the other two towers?
Yes. Essentially, that's in a nutshell. Of course, I am not a cell phone expert in terms of I don't put them in or
sure.
or I'm not involved with the exact electronics. But what I do know is from my experience of trying to prove the same exact things in other investigations. And always it was so important how many there were. And my understanding is it works just like that, where they triangulate or pick up these signals and it hones in on a particular location. So I believe their cell phone information will be very valuable. Although I do know also from experience that they're going to have other experts there to say, oh, no, there's, you know, you can't be this precise and so on and so forth. So they will have experts on both sides talking about cell phone triangulation and how close those or his cell phone was believed to have been.
When you have a situation like that, where you have essentially opposing experts on the same topic, what is the bar for considering one an expert and one a not, if they're both able to one agree, one disagree with each other on a basic principle of how these things work?
Well, essentially, before the court, these experts will have to show that they are experts. That includes creating a CV, curriculum vitae, which will be evaluated by the judge. They will be able to be questioned by opposing counsel regarding their expertise. If there is any question about it, one of the sides, either the defense or the prosecution, can ask for a Daubert hearing, which would even more closely go into that expert's experience. Typically, that doesn't happen. Expert witnesses, they have proven themselves in court before, and they have quite extensive credentials. But when they go to testify, and they typically are both allowed to testify, it will be up to that jury to make their own decisions based on their expertise and on what they say, their charts, their diagrams. And it comes down to how good an expert will be at convincing a jury their position.
So they can't just pick anybody out that maybe knows something about cell towers and call them as an expert witness. It has to be proven. Have you ever seen a case where an expert witness, quote unquote, got to the stand and you were baffled by how they even got there, or how they were considered an expert?
No, I have to say that typically I've been baffled by their opinions sometimes. Mm-hmm. But typically, their backgrounds are very strong. I will say that some tend to be more academic, and others tend to be more in the field operationally. And that plays into a lot of what a jury might accept. In other words, somebody who has studied cell phone pinging, as opposed to somebody that's out there and understands the imaginations of it all and can really explain it and dumb it down to the level of a layman understanding, often they do better on the stand.
The cell phone towers were a big piece of the probable cause affidavit. I'd say at least 50% of it was focusing on the pinging of the cell towers and where he was. Obviously, in a probable cause affidavit, they don't need to list every single piece of evidence that they have. They just need to list enough to get him arrested. How big of a piece do you believe that the cell phone towers will end up playing in the prosecution of Mr. Koberger when it comes to trial?
Well, when I look at everything, relatively speaking, mm-hmm. I think it will play, if you say on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 5. I think the big show is the DNA. Mm-hmm. And I would expect in the search warrants that they've served, if indeed Mr. Koberger is responsible for these crimes, I believe that that is going to carry the day. But in support of that is all this circumstantial evidence. And rising to the top of the circumstantial evidence are these cell phone pings, which show him in the area. And I think it's very important also to prove the element of first degree murder from the standpoint of he didn't just get mad that night. It wasn't some sort of crime of passion. This was something that was planned. And those cell phone pings are going to be very important to show intent here.
Especially with his repeated visits to the area, allegedly, at least that's what it looks like on the cell phone towers, prior to the crimes actually taking place. And not only does this appear to be, premeditated and planned, but it almost in some cases, when we're looking at some of the evidence that seems to be out there right now, even almost turned into a game after the fact. I'm speaking, of course, of the online footprint that we're seeing, and there's a lot of it I'd like to talk about, but let's first start with what seems to be one of the more recent areas of his online footprint, and that would be the Papa Roger account that was on social media, on Facebook specifically, almost seeming to taunt or lead investigators one way or the other with what he wanted them to believe, some of it very contradictory to what they found out in evidence. Number one, I know you've done a lot of digging on this. At this point in time, do you believe Papa Roger was him?
If I'm the case agent on this case, mm-hmm. and I look at the Papa Roger account like I've looked at it, I would be very much leaning toward that. When I say very much leaning, 80% this is him. But okay. There's no way to tell without subpoenaing the appropriate information. So I'm 80% there. I would want it. I need that last factual bit to tie him in. But that's where I would be as an investigator. And unfortunately, being now on this side of the screen, I have no subpoena authority, right? None mm-hmm. of us have this subpoena or search warrant authority. So we can't tell objectively, but certainly subjectively, it points to him because he presents information that just wasn't known at the time.
Sure. If one did want to get that information, how would that be done? It would be obviously they've gotten his belongings. They've gotten his phones, his computers and all of that through going in and search warrants. But would this be putting a subpoena out to Facebook or something to find the IP address of where that came from?
Yes, they subpoena everything, even though they have it actually in their hands. They would also subpoena Facebook in this case because they want that legally acquired in terms of the IP information, in terms of that electronic information. Obviously, they're going to have the computer that was used. I shouldn't say obviously. Maybe not. Maybe he ended up using another computer that for whatever reason he either got rid of or they don't have or acquired. They're going to get the information from Facebook definitely to identify that Papa Roger account. And remember, there's more than one.
Yeah, that is true. And you were looking into that and you had some questions about did he post after he was arrested, which would have negated it being obviously Koberger. But you had found some interesting information about that, didn't you?
Yeah. When we're on this side of the curtain, you really have to dig, but there is so much out there that's publicly available. And in this case, oftentimes people have the exact same profile names, even the same profile pictures, but they're from different IPs with different emails. And so you can have duplicates. In this case, there was a duplicate. And the distinguishing characteristic of one Papa Roger to the other was the original Papa Roger had an admin badge that he acquired after he created his own Facebook group. And that was on 12/29 when he was kicked out of the other Facebook group where he had done a lot of these postings. Mm-hmm. At that point, he was identifiable by this badge. Another Papa Roger was created with the exact same profile picture, but does not have the admin badge. So the individuals that believed that he posted after arrest were looking at the secondary Papa Roger without the admin badge, which is easily seen when you look under seen by mm-hmm. under a Facebook post and then also on the posting.
And also easy for people to misinterpret and not catch those things as well. With the name Papa Roger, when you look at this, obviously it's all speculation. Do you believe that was an homage to the killer Elliot Roger, the incel who killed six people in Isla Vista, California in a 14?
That would make logical sense. Elliot Roger, with the unique spelling of the name, it just made sense to me. Again, you know, I would call it educated steps to trying to solve whether Papa Roger was him without subpoena authority. That's all we can do. Mm-hmm. But yes, in answer to your question, that made sense to me.
Sure. Brian had other online footprints, it seems, all the way back to 2010, where he was a younger man. Obviously, we're talking about 12 years ago, speaking about his feeling of being disconnected from other people. Feeling emotions that he didn't recognize as being what he used to feel, almost at the very early stages of some sort of disconnection going on, asking for help in some online message boards and going into great detail. What are your thoughts on some of those postings that have also been pointed to likely be him? We don't obviously have subpoena power to check all that with IPs at this moment, but it did look pretty, obvious that it likely would be him.
Yes, that one's more obvious than the Papa Roger based on the profile pictures and other email information. That one is more, I think, directly connected through public information that we have. And it really is a light into the mind of someone who could commit a crime like this, because there's a complete disconnect and lack of empathy with killers of this nature. Mm-hmm. They've truly don't feel anymore. And that's why they're able to commit these completely heinous crimes. You know, all the rest of us can feel, and that's why it's so difficult to understand. How does this PhD student, how does somebody with no criminal record, how does someone who has minded their P's and Q's all this time? Well, I think you can see an internal battle with Mr. Koberger very early on with losing his lack of empathy or losing his empathy.
And let me ask you this. It's probably more of a question for a psychologist, but just from your experience, when someone crosses that threshold, as it seems he did back in 2010 and 2011, and recognizing it and flat out stating it in those posts, is that something one can ever get back, or is that just some sort of a physiological change or mental change that happens with some people and they just have to either learn how to get by or they can turn into something like this?
Well, this is based on my experience interviewing gang members that had been so severely treated really as youth by their parents, by the people that they loved and they entrusted from early ages, you know, 4 or 5, yeah. 6. Those are the people that I've personally interviewed that have truly lost their ability to feel. And when you are so hurt and emotionally scarred, none of them ever recovered. I'll put it that way. None of the individuals I've interviewed that have committed murder that in this type of a way that had lost their empathy were ever able to gain it back, from my knowledge. And I interviewed them well after their crimes in prison to understand more deeply where they were coming from.
When it gets that far in, because what's interesting is he seemed to notice it at the beginning. Obviously, we're talking 12 years later now. Does one at some point just not even recognize what it used to feel like to feel, and they just get so engrossed in their norm that they're, do they ever look back and say, I wish I still could feel, or is that like a foreign concept to them from what you've experienced?
From the individuals I've interviewed, they do look back and they recognize what happened to turn them. Mm-hmm. And I think they, I can think of two particularly that seem to wish that they could have had, wouldn't have taken those turns, but they did. And it's very callous after their maybe initial look back. But there were two that actually I remember very distinctly sort of saying they wish that they could be normal.
Yeah. With this case, and we're talking about Brian Koberger, it often takes some sort of trauma to get one there. What do we know, if anything, in your investigating and digging on this, do we see anything from childhood or any sort of evident trauma that would point to this becoming how he became?
Not to my knowledge. I have not found anything yet. And I will say that even though trauma is typically linked or oftentimes linked, it's not always linked. Mm-hmm. You can look at various individuals, even Ted Bundy, which of course his trauma, I guess, was the fact he realized somebody that was his mother was not raised as being his mother, you know, that his grandparents weren't his parents and so on and so forth. And maybe that was difficult for him to understand. I use him because everybody's very familiar with him.
Sure.
So I don't know if there's always a link. I know I've personally seen that link of trauma, and I think it is very oftentimes that's what leads, but we haven't seen any information about that. In fact, if you look at when he was pulled over in the vehicle mm-hmm. stops, his engagement with his father is quite concerning.
How
at
so?
Least that's how I took it. Well, for instance, when his father tries to speak about a situation, he, you know, puts his hand over. He says, "You don't even know that. You weren't there." I think those were very, I'm ad-libbing the words, but that's essentially what he said when his father tries to talk about a situation. He seems very controlling of his father, giving him scowls and looks and just trying to control the situation. And he refers, I believe, in one of his posts about that he thinks his dad's a nice guy, but, mm-hmm. you know, struggles with his emotions toward him.
Yeah.
And so you can see that in this stop. And for me, that was really telling when I watched that stop.
That's very interesting that is there. Sometimes, I mean, when you look at the brain scans of killers and such, you can see a definite difference. Now, as to how did that difference come about? Was that strictly genealogical, or was that caused by trauma at some point? I don't know that we know the answer to that, but there does seem to be a definite difference. But a person like this could develop this way, are you saying, with or without trauma, possibly?
I think it's possible. Again, my major is not psychology.
Sure.
But just from what I've seen and just from interviewing and so on and so forth, I think it can happen both ways. Take child murderers. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they have not been able to find what made them snap. What was in their background, what happened at home. And of course, it's so difficult to see what happens behind closed doors.
Sure.
And it becomes sort of a he said, she said, in terms of how they were treated. But I would think it would be possible, just judging from different cases I've had where there's been no background information about them being physically or psychologically abused yet. They commit heinous crimes.
Jennifer Coffendaffer joining us. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter at Coffendaffer FBI. That is spelled C-O-F-F-I-N-D-A-F-F-E-R F-B-I. for her findings on the case. Always very interesting to follow. She's one of my favorites to follow on this and other cases of this nature. We'll have more with Jennifer later in the day on a second audio post. With that, we'll be discussing more details about the psychology of Koberger and the DeSales University online questions and posts that he made while he was studying criminology. We'll talk about some of the clues. Could there have possibly been anyone else involved relating to what some of the statements that were made by Koberger and theories on how he may have actually known the victims? Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as to not miss that other part of our conversation, which will be released shortly here on our feed. You can get a commercial-free experience if you like through Apple Podcasts. Just search for us there and press subscribe. The option is there for a 3-day trial. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can find me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Until next time, for all of us at True Crime Today and the University of Idaho Murders.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This podcast.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Thanks for listening.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.